Today's reading is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, now I'm going to hand over to Jim, who's going to explain the passage to us.
Do keep that passage open. Let's pray. Father, we realise that you are much more ready and willing to speak to us than we are to listen. And so would you make us attentive, we pray. Please, with homes all across Bristol, would a stillness descend now upon us as we open up the Bible. And we want to pray that in, I don't know, however long that, we would leave going, wow, we have been addressed by the living God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine the situation. You're in the car in a traffic jam. The motorway has been closed or something like that. You're going to be stuck for a long time. You're squashed in the back seat. The air conditioning isn't working. It's very, very hot. And your brother, who's sitting right next to you, just keeps on poking you. Or think about this. Your friend you've just heard has set up a WhatsApp group with a whole lot of other guys from your class and hasn't included you. It's a group which you've been left out of it. And it's hard enough in lockdown not being able to see each other, but now there's this group and you're out of it. Or maybe you have a pre-existing medical condition, and although lockdown is pretty much sort of lifted in some ways for other people, it hasn't for you. Neither is the gloom that you feel as a result, or even the irritability actually that you are finding you're having with those you live with. Well, who's qualified to help us with situations like that? What about a man? A man who was imprisoned simply for telling people about the Lord Jesus. A man who had no idea really what his future holds. A man who found that his people outside of prison, all around the place, were kind of rubbing his name in the dirt, who were making him out to be something he wasn't. What would a man like that have to say to us as we face strain, as we face the stress of a land under lockdown, a world full of worries? Here's what he says, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Come on. Not always. Surely not. Yes. I will say it again. Verse 4. Rejoice. Well, there we go. That's how we survive. That's how we survive lockdown and whatever it throws at us. I know we've been doing some thinking now about rejoicing in things. And I think what we've been seeing right away is rejoicing is not simply a feeling of being happy, is it? It's not like, oh, be happy. Yeah, okay, I'll be happy. No, rejoicing, as Paul understands it, is something you actively do in something. You rejoice in him, that is in Jesus, in having Jesus as your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. There is no one better. So Paul is saying, don't make sure you don't take him for granted. Because you've got to admit it, that's what we all tend to do, don't we, with people we love. You know, there's our mum or our spouse or the person we live with. You know, maybe they do wind us up sometimes, but we love them. and we can take them for granted. And Paul's saying, well, certainly don't do that for the Lord Jesus, because, well, there's nothing you can fault with the Lord Jesus at all. He just oozes love for people. A few weeks ago now, when we were looking at Philippians 2, I think Sim was preaching, we heard about how this Jesus is the one who left heaven and was willing to be nailed to a stinking cross just because he loved others so much. And so Paul is saying, look, will you just enjoy having him as your friend? Will you get him out of the box, as it were, and just go see what an amazing person he really is? Will you do with Jesus what I know some of you guys have been doing this week with your new school uniform? I've seen some photos flying around the place. Some of you are moving to a new school and they've been trying on the blazer, you know, trying it out for size, getting the trousers on, seeing how they feel. And, oh yeah, this is it. I look pretty swish, you know. You've been rejoicing in something you might take for granted. I've been rejoicing in your school uniform. Or some rejoicing that's been happening in this household is that, you know, we did have a frozen lunchbox. We have updated this new school year. This lunchbox has been a kind of a cause of massive pleasure and delight. You know, it's kind of one you can just wipe clean, and it's not just a lunchbox. It's got little kind of box to, like, things you can open, and I don't know, you'll put your grapes in there or something. And I'm sort of make you envious, but look at this. You can, like, open it up. And you can do it, like, for ages, just sort of sitting on the carpet, opening and closing it, and opening it and going, a little bottle you can put your water in. We've been rejoicing in this lunchbox. Well, Paul's saying, come on, Jesus is not just a lunchbox. He's not just your school uniform. If you can actively enjoy things in life, well, make sure you actively unpack and enjoy all that the Lord Jesus is, all that he is for us. And I tell you, when you do, guess what happens? You are filled with peace. Knowing that you're at peace with God. That comes up twice in our passage. It comes up in verse 7, the peace of God. And then look at the end of the passage, verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, there are all sorts of things we can do, but the main headline thing is enjoy Jesus. Actively realize what a wonderful friend he is to have. There are two ways I want us to focus on what it would look like to enjoy Jesus this afternoon. Jesus makes all the difference to our relationships, the relationships that feel under strain. Secondly, Jesus makes all the difference to hearts that feel stress. Relationships strained, hearts stressed. We'll take each in turn. Here's the first. Jesus makes all the difference to relationships that feel strained. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, isn't that just about one of the hardest things that anyone could ever say to us? Let your gentleness be evident, not just to those you love, those who are easy to get along with. No, let your gentleness be evident to all. Yes, even your big sister, even your toe rag of a boss, even to the jailers who are holding you in prison when you really don't deserve to be there. You've just been telling people about Jesus. Now, why? Why can we? What might motivate us to do that? Well, look at what comes next. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Jesus is near. Now, that could mean he's coming soon. He's coming soon and he's going to sort things out. And if you were here last week, you'll remember what Paul wrote just a few verses before. He says, we eagerly await a savior from heaven who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will become like his glorious body. The point Paul is making is, look, don't lash out at people who are making life difficult for you, because Jesus is on the way. It's as though he's just around the corner. He's just off screen. He's coming. It's a bit like, I don't know, break time. Imagine at break time and the year fours, they are really messing up the game you're wanting to play with your mates. You know, they're in your part of the playground and they're just getting in the way. And you want to have a fight with them because they deserve it and they should get out of your way. But no, you know that you know something, which means you don't. You treat them gently. You let your gentleness be evident to all because you've seen Mrs. Pritchard or Mrs. Frickle or Mrs. Jones or whoever your head teacher is. You saw her just a few minutes leaving her office, coming round the corner, and she's on her way. And when she comes, you know that justice will be done. It won't be up to you. She'll do it. So you can be gentle. Mrs. Pritchard's on the way. So the Lord, who is incidentally your friend as well, is near. He's coming soon. However, this reminder that the Lord is near can also be translated. It could also mean he's near, as in he's close by. He's close at hand. Some Bible verses translate this, the Lord is at hand. So children, I wonder, what is at hand for you now? What if you reached out and grabbed? I've got my fruit bowl nearby. I reach out, I have an apple. Got my coffee mug. At hand. These things are at hand. Well, Paul is saying, you can't see Jesus. No, you can't see him. But he is at hand in one sense. Don't think just because you can't see him, he isn't there. No, he's in the room with you. I think, what was it? Julia said earlier, yeah, Julia is closer to me than anyone else can be. That is right, Julia. It totally is. He's near. He's at hand. So the best way I can sort of describe this is, you know, here we go. We got this man here, okay? And he's got three grumpy people. They're actually firemen, but imagine they're kind of soldiers. And this is Paul, and he's being, it's hard work kind of being gentle when you've got three grumpy people giving you a hard time. But what Paul knows is someone is near him. And that someone is very big, much bigger than the people who are kind of giving him hassle. And he's kind of at hand. He's just in his hands. And so Paul, therefore, can relax because this big person is in charge. And this big person isn't just big and powerful. He's actually very, very kind. He's full of gentleness. So how can Paul be grumpy when he's with a really big friend who showed himself to be the most gentle person in all the world? If you rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in all that he is, make you gentle. Jesus makes all the difference to the relationships that feel strained in our lives. Secondly, Jesus makes all the difference to hearts that feel stressed. Look at what Paul says in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay? Don't be anxious about anything. Really? Well, what do I do then? What do I do with my anxieties, Paul? I can't just not be anxious. How do I deal with these? Oh, he says, what you need to do is you need to pray. Do not be anxious about anything, verse 6. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Just kind of lay them at his door. Which things should you lay at his door? Which anxieties? What does he say? In every situation, absolutely every single situation in your life that you are worried about, lay it at God's door. Present it to him. Now, I find that a really helpful thing to hear because I often think about, you know, as I think about our prayers, I think, well, what am I allowed to pray for? It's kind of spiritual things, right? Is that right? It's just meant to be the sort of spiritual sounding things. And I don't know, I'm meant to use polite conversation and be on my best behavior, be all formal. You know, it's like I'm having an audience with the Queen. You know, I'm going to have chit chat, talk about the really, some whatever I'm meant to be talking about. Now, Don't get me wrong, of course, the Lord God is a very great, great, great king. He really is. But he commands us to talk to him about anything, anything we're worried about. Can even be the tiny little things that you might think he doesn't care about, like your brother poking you on the seat when you're on the back of the car and its air conditioning doesn't work, or the small things, or even the bigger things too, like having to shield and worrying about your health. Don't let anyone ever tell you, oh, you're just an anxious person. No, no. Don't be defined by being an anxious person. Anxiety is a bit like a light that flashes on the dashboard. It's just a sign you need to do something. Oh, anxious. Anxiety is coming. Sure, great. I need to pray. It's a bit like I get hungry, or so I eat, or I get tired, so I get to bed. I get smelly, so I have a wash. I get anxious, so I pray. How do we pray? Well, really interestingly, Paul tells us to do it with thanksgiving. That is, we're to recognize all the ways God has helped us in the past, provided for us. We thank him for that. And that kind of calms us. Oh yeah, God's got actually quite a good track record here of keeping his promises, of helping his people. And when we pray, he doesn't actually promise to give us what we ask for. We don't actually want that power. That would be a power we're not wise enough to have. No, he doesn't give us all that we ask for. He doesn't actually necessarily make the bad things go away. He gives us something far, far, far better. He gives us, well, a deep sense of security, an overwhelming kind of understanding that goes beyond understanding, that kind of permeates our hearts, that everything is going to be okay. Do you see that in verse 7? A beautiful verse. Here's one to learn. Well, you need to learn verse 6 as well, but verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here's the picture that Paul is working with. It's as though if you have accepted Jesus, if you've accepted him as your friend, well, then he's also your fortress. You are totally safe in God's hands. I wonder if you've ever visited a castle with huge, great walls that kind of protect the people inside. Well, I have to say that is the Christian. So, well, that is, Paul had a good sense of this. Here we go. Forget any Lego enthusiasts, look away now. It's a bit embarrassing, but here we go. Here's Paul. He's surrounded. He's safe. He's in a castle. He's in a fortress. And this fortress means that he is safe. He's protected. He's guarded. Now, what is he guarded by? What's guarding? What are like the walls that are protecting Paul? Look down at the verse. Would you just look? Verse 7. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. See, peace here is not just this sense of, I don't know, 1960s kind of peace man kind of thing. No, peace here is a really rock solid thing. Very, very substantial. It's the truth that God is for us and not against us. If you trust Jesus, God is for you and not against you. Now, that doesn't mean that hard things won't happen. It doesn't mean that there might not be another full lockdown, that schools might have to close, the people we love might not get coronavirus. It doesn't mean any of those things, but it does blow away the anxiety we all feel about these things. However, with Jesus, if we reside in his castle and protected by the peace that comes from saying, I'm with Jesus, well, then our future is absolutely certain, as is the future of anyone else who trusts in Jesus. We know that God is going to give us all we need as we wait for the final day, the day when the Lord Jesus will return. He sent his son for us. What more could God do? We are at the center of his purposes and plans. He's going to fulfill them, surely. If you're in Christ, you're safe. You're protected. You'll guard it. And knowing that because of Jesus, God is for us, fills our hearts and minds with peace. And that peace is guarding us. It's saying, stick with Jesus. Don't go anywhere else. You're safe with him. The castle you're in has walls so thick and so high that nothing can harm you ultimately. You needn't fear the things you are anxious about and worrying about and are just churning over. So brothers and sisters, will you pray? When you're anxious, pray. And your sense of peace will come in time. Jesus makes all the difference. He makes all the difference to hearts that feel stressed. He makes all the difference to relationships that feel strained. So what's the big thing we need to be doing? Well, the big thing we need to be doing is not taking Jesus for granted. We need to rejoice in him. Enjoy him. Fill our minds with him, our thoughts with him every day, constantly, whenever we can. I think that's the point in verses 8 to 9. Fill our minds and hearts with him. Because Jesus is our friend. He's also our fortress. He's both present. He's also protective. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus makes all the difference. Father, we know that in this world, our relationships will be strained at times. In this world, anxieties will surely come. Please help us to develop a habit of consciously delighting in all that Jesus is for us, in the wonderful friend that Jesus is to us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Jim, thanks so much again for joining us all the way from Emmanuel Bishopston this afternoon. We've got a few questions that have come through, so we should have time for two, maybe three. And the first one that's come through on through Pigeonhole is, if I pray but I'm still anxious, what then?
Yeah, thank you. And that, thank you for the question. I saw a number of people voted for it, and I'd love to sort of sit down and have a longer conversation than we can have in these few seconds that we have now. I'd say, one, keep praying, praying with others. Here's the thing, though, and it's the thing I wasn't able to explore in the passage. What we need help with as Christians, to help one another with, is keep praying more and more in line with the will of God. So whilst it is totally true we can pray about anything, we can pray as we grow as Christians and mature as Christians and get to know more and more what our Father is like, then we can, our prayers will become more and more in sync with his plans and purposes, and so we will receive more of a sense of that sense of peace that comes. So a tiny quick illustration: a child wants ice cream. I want ice cream all the time. Ice cream. The parent won't give ice cream, and maybe the child won't get a sense of security. They're praying about this need, but they need to be helped to pray in a way that's more in keeping with God's, the parents, let's ask more in keeping with their parents' will. And so I think that's kind of what we need to do. Otherwise our prayers are just worrying in God's direction, just going, I'm worrying about this. But what the worries, very important. Now let's think, how does all the wonderful things that God say to us in the Bible shape how we might pray about those things? And that can be quite hard to do, so it's great to talk with others and to keep going.
Great. And maybe you want to pick up at small groups as well to kind of help speak that truth into each other's lives as well this evening. And it's maybe linked into the next question, but someone's asked, what does it mean to pray with thanksgiving when we're anxious? And they said, is it similar to the idea of rejoicing in our trials?
I think I need to say a quick caveat. And obviously anxiety and can be a sort of a bit of a condition we might have. There may be some sort of might just be prone to being more anxious in temperament. Now that we mustn't be defined by that, but it's quite a complex thing, and I don't want to just rush over it quickly. If you are does thanksgiving, what does it mean to pray with thanksgiving? Is it similar to the idea of rejoicing in our trials? I think it's specifically looking for ways where God has proved himself to be a God who hears us, who answers us. There may be times in life where that is just impossible, but it's a good discipline to rather go, everything is black, everything is going, no, I'm going to arrest that way of thinking and try and notice, oh, actually, that was just a small thing, but it was a thing that God helped me with, and that was something. Or, oh, actually, he's kept his promise in this way in Christ, and you can sort of get yourself going. So I think it's noticing ways where God's hand has been at work.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. And I think we've got probably time for the last question that's on the live chat. And someone just asked, quoted the verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And they've just asked, how does that manifest itself? I guess, what's that going to look like tomorrow morning?
Oh, my friend, I don't know who's asked that. In a way, it's beyond what words can express. It's more than, it goes beyond understanding. It doesn't necessarily mean a liver shiver, you know, it may not mean a hit, like a sugar high. This is the wonder of the Christian life, pressing in to learn more and more what having Jesus as a friend, the language I've been using, knowing him is just the most wonderful, stabilizing, assuring truth that you can know, and it ebbs and flows and changes. I'm unable to kind of say it's like this. It's like a relationship where it's all different depending on your stage of life and who you're relating. And it's, help me out. How would you answer it?
And I know, I think that's really helpful, because I guess in the sense that the verse says it surpasses understanding, so in the sense it's going to be difficult to get head around, but I always kind of like the kind of impression of just, it almost just like feels like, you know, a weight off your shoulders. It's kind of like breathing a sigh of relief, knowing that the Lord's in control and knowing that he loves you. For me, like, that's something that I found, like, from personal experience, that's how that verse has played out in my life.
We often talk about it, you never leave a prayer meeting going, oh, that was a waste of time. I mean, my universe is kind of put on a solid place again. I know what life is, I can go for it. The world is not a dangerous place. I'm not a sort of a lone ranger. God is there. He answers our prayers. It's that as you leave the prayer meeting, you go, wow, this is reality. I'm so pleased that I'm in my
perspective back. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Jim, for joining us this afternoon. Thanks so much for helping us think through Philippians.